Now, if you compare that to the British songs we sang earlier, this is about 50 years later. It's a generation later. And Daniel Reed and others of his, they grew up singing those British psalm tunes, but they wanted to do their own thing. So he's got a little more of a text painting going on. He paints the slippery ice, and he has the tenors slurring around on these slurs. And then this next one we'll sing, let's sing Wyndham right on the same page to give him a sense of the minor keys, because a lot of church music in America, they kind of got rid of the minor keys starting in about 1840, but Sacred Harp uses a lot of these old minor keys. And if you listen to this really carefully, you'll hear the treble and the bass ring out together just like they did in Wells. But Daniel gets this effect going, and he did a little bit of this text painting too. He says, broad, see, life was cheery back then. I don't know if you know. They had a saying, life was nasty, brutish, and short. But it hasn't changed, and so they had real cheery words. So the words on this one say, broad is the road that leads to death, and thousands walk together there. But wisdom shows a narrow path, with here and there a traveler. It's kind of a Buddhist thought, you know, you have to get off the world. You got to get off the world. But anyway, but he put a little half step on the word narrow, and that's the kind of thing that you wouldn't necessarily have seen in the British psalm tunes, the idea of actually painting what's going on in the text. So let's sing the first and last verse of this in a minor key.
After shapes?
Well, you know, we haven't even told the people on the radio what shapes are, have we?
We have not.
How do we get so into what we're doing?
Pray tell.
Well, you know, the notes, if you could see our music, you would see that all the notes in our books are different shapes, some rectangular, some triangular, some diamond shape. And those tell us the four syllables, fa, sol, la, mi. So we sing out through the entire song singing the names of the notes before we sing the words. That's kind of how we do business. And I heard it said once about somebody who visited a shape notes, and he said, I like the music, but why is the first verse always in Latin? Well, we're not singing Latin, we're singing fa, sol, la.
Okay.
So let's sing this.
La. Thank you.
with those old minor songs. And if you could see our face, it's not like we're all sitting here with frowns. We get overjoyed by those minor songs, you know?
Sometimes we even giggle right after the fire and brimstone, you know, cool off a little
bit. We enjoy those songs.
Well, you are listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. It's just a little bit after 7 o'clock, and you're listening to the Sunset Symphony, but the instrument tonight being focused on is the sacred harp, which is the human voice. Is that not correct?
I think that's correct. We're all it. We're all the sacred harp right here.
We are the sacred harp, yeah. So Billings.
Yeah, many people who have sung in choral groups may have heard of Billings. He's probably the only one maybe people have ever heard of. He had the anthem, I Am the Rose of Sharon. Some people have sung that in a choral version. And they used to play the song Chester a lot around the time of the bicentennial in the 70s. It kind of had a renaissance in marching band and arrangement, so people got to hear that. But the song Chester has a history, you know, going back to the Revolutionary War. And Billings first wrote it as a hymn tune, and then he wrote a set of words which were kind of pro-American, pro-revolutionary. And that he published that before the war even started, which is a pretty bold thing to do. And I hear it's popular around here.
We do sing it, and wasn't it like one of Benjamin Franklin's favorites?
Oh yeah, it was incredibly popular.
I think he wanted that to be the national anthem, if I'm not mistaken.
And it was taken up as a marching tune, a fife tune, and we still enjoy it today. But I think we should sing a little run of Billings because he really was the founder of the style. He took what the British musicians had laid down in those books, and he made it new in 1770, publishing the first collection of music in America published by an American author, of course. In 1770, wasn't America yet. So
Do Chester?
Let's do Chester.
Yes, yay.
And then we'll do a few. Let's do David's Lamentation.
Oh, yeah.
A few nice ones. 479?
479.
Fa, sol, sol.
Second half of that could be repeated to make a chorus. So, you know, we're on our way to folk hymns and spirituals right there. Let's sing David's Lamentation. And this is an anthem by the same writer in a minor key. And it's kind of features the bass voice. Billings himself was a bass singer. So his bass parts are notoriously good. And Billings was accused of being too enthusiastic about how much he loved music. I think it shows in this one and maybe in Africa that it just overflowed with him. So let's sing this. And how would you lead it?
Sure.
Love.
Love. Love. Love. Love. Love. Love. Love. la mi la 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 so fa la la fa so la la mi la la mi la mi la so
la mi ba mi la so
la so la
chorus. We don't have a director.
We
don't
practiced.
Even rehearse.
No.
We just sing.
We're no rehearse, no cut.
Nope. Yeah. And so when we get together to sing, we call it a singing. And we don't go back and fix our mistakes. And some people listening who are waiting for Sunset Symphony, they might think, you know, I like that chorus, but they don't have any dynamics. All their songs are sung. And that's because we don't sing for an audience. I mean, this radio audience excluded. We're obviously singing
right.
for you
and
right
we're
now.
Thrilled to be
and we're thrilled
right
to
now.
Be singing for you. But we just picture you, radio audience, that you're right here in this room with us. And so we're singing for you just because we feel you with us. And so we sing for that enjoyment. We don't sing in a performance. So we get overjoyed and we sing nice and strong. And it's interesting. You know, it's if you when you get in your car, and you get on the highway, you go 65. That's how we sing, because we have to go. Because we have to go all day.
That's right.
It's not like we're doing a concert that's over. So
that's right.
We get into high gear and we leave it there.
That's right.
So let's sing Africa.
Oh, excellent.
And that's a song. Maybe we get a leader from right here in Alaska for
well,
them.
Could we have an Alaskan pitch, perchance? Is anybody feeling confident? Let's see.
What page are we on? 178. 178. Let's see.
Oh,
I think the people in the radio audience can tell we enjoyed that.
I love the phrase, and pleasure tunes my tongue. That's exactly what happens when I sing this music.
Yeah, well, you know, William Billings, that overflowing of music, that was there came a time when this music was less welcome. You might ask yourself, how could this music have been forgotten? How come
how could this music have been forgotten?
Well, you know, if you read a book on William Billings, you will read that he didn't know anything about harmony and his music was full of discords. Well, what I just heard was beautiful. And the more of his music, the more you're going to like it. So you ask yourself, you know, why it changed, but the style changed, and we don't have to get into all of that. But another thing that William Billings helped develop that people really enjoyed were the fuguing songs. And those are tremendously fun. Maybe one of the things was that they were too fun. I'm just going to put that out there. It might be that they were too fun. So let's sing 155.
Gary, you got a comment from Fairbanks here, too.
Oh, okay. Robert, is there something you wanted to add?
Oh, I was just going to add that note of the participatory nature of it. There is a saying that, I wouldn't go across the street to listen to a shape note singing, but I'd drive 500 miles to be in one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we sing so loud you don't even have to cross the street.
Just stay in your car. You'll hear us. Well, the writer of this song, Jeremiah Ingalls, is one that appealed to me because he wrote this and most of his music in Vermont, where I'm from, and he was the operator of a tavern in that town. He was also the lead chorister or church musician in the town. So he wrote and basically served in that town for 20 years. So these fuguing songs are based on an English model as well, where we all sing together and then each part chimes in. And they bear something of a resemblance to certain tavern songs of a similar style, where everybody clinks
perhaps
their glasses together at the end. So again, and maybe it was these songs were a little too enjoyable for some.
And a fugue is, even though it sounds like a round, it truly is not, because mm-hmm. the parts are individual. They may start out a little the same, but they do branch out.
Yeah, so maybe even with the way we're seated around the studio now, people can hear that, the parts singing across to each other. It's one of the things that makes these songs so enjoyable. So let's sing this one, Northfield, 155.
Fa, sol, fa, 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 sol, fa, la, sol, fa, la, sol.
Even today is about the third most often sung in the whole book. So being written in 1800, it's still very popular among Sacred Harp singers. And let's do a run of these fuguing songs.
Oh yeah.
And like maybe we could even do let's do 186.
Excellent choice. What is it?
Well, you're about to find out.
That's what we like to say. We don't have the numbers memorized. It's like excellent choice.
This is probably the most popular Christmas song from about 1783 to the 1930s, when Lowell Mason's Antioch, the song we now call Joy to the World, kind of unseated it. But in the time, this was the song. And
no
so,
way! We yeah. love singing this
and
one.
And this is just, again, this is very, very popular in its own time. The author is Daniel Reed of Attleboro, Massachusetts, but moved to New Haven, Connecticut.
Sol la fa, sol, 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 la la la, sol la, fa sol.
68. Excellent choice. What is it? I can't
wait. It's, I just think you're going to like it.
Oh, I like it already.
And this was written by Oliver Holden, and he was from Charlestown, Massachusetts. That's just north of Boston where the Bunker Hill Monument is. And they still have an Oliver Holden school there and Oliver Holden Street there. And so a lot of these people who wrote these songs were preeminent in their time in their communities, either as teachers or leaders of some type, justice of the peace or whatnot. So here's a minor fuguing song. Again, a minor song, but it's not sad. We're not mopey when we sing this. Songs are a huge part of, you know, what Hal was talking about. You have to get your fix. I mean, if you're in a room of people, 100 people, 20 people, 11 people, and hearing that harmony go around and around and come right back at you, it's really a powerful experience. And it was powerful for the people in the time. In those times, the choir would have been seated around the top balcony of the meeting house. And so the bass voice would have been on one side, and then the tenor, and then the alto, and then the treble. So those fuguing songs would have gone all the way around the house, even back in the 1780s when they were sung. And so writers like Billings and Holden, they were associated with this early fuguing style. And then when the style began to change in the 1830s, their music was sort of put to the side. And that's why a book like this that began in 1844 ended up preserving a whole genre, a whole repertoire that we sing today.
Thankfully.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe we could close the New England up with maybe 299 New Jerusalem. And then we can talk a little bit about how the Sacred Harp is this also a Southern tradition, and how we kind of have a whole generations of singers in Georgia and Alabama and the American South to thank for preserving this New England music. So let's sing 299.
299.
Also,
la la so la so la fa so so fa so la fa so
so fa fa fa
la so 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 la so 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 fa so
so so fa
so
fa
so la la la
la la
so fa so fa so la.
It might be interesting to hear about, maybe from Steve or somebody, about what it means to travel and to have connections in different parts of the country that, you know, that we might never otherwise, you know, how this music connects us to places and people.
Well, I've heard a lot of, you know, different talk about Sacred Harp, and a couple of things that just came to mind to me that maybe we haven't discussed too much is what makes Sacred Harp music different from other forms of music? And there's been a little smattering of the talk about it's participatory.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one element of it that I find very endearing, is that this doesn't really behave like other kinds of music, in that we generally do not, or we're actually not even interested in an audience.
Except this one. It's on the radio with us right now.
But we... Our real motivation behind an audience is we hope you'll actually come and
join us, participate.
So this is purely a participatory form of music, which makes it fairly unique.
Yeah.
Also, the dispersed harmony, some of the musical elements that you, Tom, had spoken about earlier. If you combine all these things, this doesn't really behave like too much else on the planet.
Yeah.
And I think that's one endearing thing about it, is that, which has drawn me, because I can't really think of anything else.
No, there's no, like, I mean, it's saying something about the world we live in, that where else can you go and just be welcomed to join in harmony with people and sing all day and eat together? I mean, it offers a way to engage with music making that nothing else seems to offer right now. And you're right about those specific musical elements. I mean, part of the reason that the rationale that was used when this music was pushed to the side in the 1830s was all the harmonies are wrong. There's parallel fifths, open fifths, backwards fifths, upside down fifths. But those harmonies, when you sing 100 people those harmonies are they're just absolutely stunning.
They are, and there's some I've heard other comments, you know, and you've made the comment, Tom, about first discovering this on a 1959 recording that probably was bought in the folk section of the record store, and there's been other references to folk music, and I think I'd just like to point out that there are a lot of elements of folk music in the Sacred Harp. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, you could look at it that way, but on the other hand, just look at the text we're singing. This is clearly religious music, and it's and for you're about to talk about the Southern tradition.
Yes,
and it is very much a part of their religious background in a lot of ways. And even though this is not religious music in the sense that we expect people to believe a certain thing or that it's a religious group, it's quite the contrary.
Yeah, it's
still
open
just
to
clearly
all.
By looking at the text that we're singing, this is clearly religious music.
Yeah,
I think what draws, I don't know what draws me to it. I wish I knew, because then I could bottle it and sell it or something.
But well, I have more airline miles.
I do have quite a few airline miles, because whatever it is has drawn me. I think, Tom, I was smiling when you said that, I'll never go to Alabama. Why would I ever
I'm a Yankee, dyed in the wool.
And I was
literally.
We
wear a lot of wool.
I was born 50 miles from the town of Northfield, which we sang that song long ago.
Yeah.
And but I go to Alabama now at least two or three times a year.
Yeah.
And it's because of the whatever it is that I couldn't put my finger on.
Yeah, there's something about the way this music connects and unites us. It crosses barriers of place and politics and regional differentiation. And so friendships form across amazing boundaries that otherwise we think of as, you know, somewhat impermeable.
And I'm not sure if I know of any other kind of music where this kind of thing could happen. As you talk about some of the music things that we do, Tom and I were actually on the same flight to get here.
Yeah, I know. We see each other in the airport.
And we were talking
where are you
about
going?
Actually the scales that we use to sing, which are not
quite the same
as what other people do. And there's some people who are very much attuned to that in the singing community, and there are other people who are not at all, yet they do it just perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's another element about this thing, is being so participatory. We can all do this and enjoy our diverse background company and have a great time singing.
Yeah,
and
part of
I suppose that was the best way of not answering a question.
No, but you're not done yet. No, you're not done, Steve. But I want to say a little bit about.
I was about to get up out of.
No, you're not. No, you're not. I want to say a little bit about the harmonies. You know, something I talk about this period in the 1830s and 1840s, where this music was pushed to the side. That was exactly the time when keyboard-based instruments like organs were being installed in the churches of Boston and greater environments like that. And anybody can make the experiment and play one of these songs on the piano, and you will realize it doesn't sound very good on the piano. It really needs the human voice. And the human voice tunes differently. And that's what I think Steve is referring to, that when we tune these chords, we tune in a specifically interesting way that no keyboard instrument can do. Keyboard instruments that have to play in all 12 keys, they compromise the keys, you know. And when we sing, if we can really get good, we can really sing some perfect chords, some literally, you know, harmonious chords. And that may be surrounded by varieties of vocal production. Because, you know, the original purpose of the fa sol la system back in the period of Billings, even back when the very first songs we talked about, was to teach ordinary people to sing. Teach the common person to sing, harmonize. So we're not looking for trained voices. We don't necessarily have the same blend that other choral musics have, but we can bring a lot of people together.
I've heard it said that Sacred Harp is for people who have sung in the church choir and for people who've been asked not to sing in the church choir. There's room around the hollow square for everyone.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that was my friend Connie.
Connie.
Speaking, who I have seen in more states.
Yeah, that's right.
We've traveled, Cornelia. How many states have we traveled together in?
I can't count them.
So we have been to. I live in the about 2 hours south of Cornelia in Oregon, but we end up in the same city in the south more often than not, and that's just an element of this music that we often, the two of us will often get on the phone or email to each other and find out what singing are you going to next, should we rent a car together?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know what other kind of community does that kind of thing, but yep. This is what happens in this kind of...
Yeah, and that might bring us to the topic of the Southern tradition, because while we might contextualize this as folk music because we who are drawn to it may also play the fiddle, may also be involved in other types of contra dance music, actually, one thing that differentiates this from folk music is that it has a teacher and a learner, that there are singing schools, and the singing schools go back to the roots of the tradition, and that there is a class, there is a this sort of formal quality to it. And the regions in the South that preserved this music did so because they had teachers. And that's why the publishing company had to persist, because they needed books for the teachers to teach. And so there's a teaching quality about it. And that's where, Connie and I, we've done some good singing down there at some of the teaching places where, like Camp Fossila and other places where the teaching continues. And that's actually where my dissertation sort of came in, where I was at Camp Fossila and I met a lot of the teachers down there. And I said, my field is music education. And here we have this branch of American music education that's goes back so far. And so it became a big piece of it for me. So when we say it's folk music, let's also say maybe not. Maybe this is just how people are raised up in it, and it's not, it's nothing else. It's the music they live and breathe, just like anything else. So we
try and preserve the tradition as best we can, especially with conventions. And so we ourselves are having our own singing school,
mm-hmm.
and that's why we have Tom here from Boston to lead our singing school tomorrow night,
yep.
7 to 9 p.m. at the Pioneer Home Manager's House. Just show up and get ready for some singing. Unfortunately, you didn't have to come on horseback. I think
no,
that was
no.
Yeah,
we next year we're going to upgrade horseback.
That's right. Yeah,
but this year you came by
jet this
yes,
time, but
yes.
Next year it's going to be
yeah.
Horseback.
Next year deluxe.
Just so, like the old singing school teachers.
Absolutely, yes. Mule. I actually think mule's a bit
mule.
More rugged. Yeah. But anyway, let's sing one of these songs, and it just. Getting on to the musical qualities, this is by John McCurry in 1855. It's 4:41. The song is called Raymond.
4:41.
And you'll hear in it a lot of similar musical qualities to the New England fuguing songs, except this was written in Georgia. So while the northern communities were moving towards keyboard-based, the Fossila communities in Georgia kept with the old style, but didn't just keep it. They kept writing new songs, and that's why we're here today.
You want to flip parts with me?
Let's do it.
I'll sing Tanner, you sing Treble.
You got it.
Fa so fa la 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 fa 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 so la so so la so so fa 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 la so 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 la so 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 la fa 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 mi la so 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 la fa 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 mi la so 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 fa
so la
so
la
fa 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 mi la so la
so
la Hark the glad sound, the Savior come, the Savior promised long.
Let every heart prepare.
See that fuguing style that became out of fashion up in the Boston area and spread into the north was preserved by Southern writers, even women composers, which we rarely saw in the New England tradition. So let's look at 1:12. The original writer or compiler of the songbook we sing, B.F. White, he was in Hamilton, Georgia, And he taught music in his community. It was the justice of the peace of his community. And he had a number of music pupils. Among them were the Lancaster Sisters. And so this is by Sarah Lancaster, again, in the fuguing style and with an alto part that I can only describe as refulgent.
Favorite word.
Yeah. So let's sing this one. The Last Words of Copernicus.
Alla sola, alla sola, alla sola, alla sola, 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 sola,
Mean?
Full. Full. You just go to the full. Refulgent.
Refulgent. Now, I like that word.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole heliocentric world, you guys know something about that in Alaska, I think. Yeah. Well, you know, another style we could get into, again, that we didn't see as much with the North is the spirituals. So let's look at some of those camp meeting songs and spirituals. Maybe 274 on the top. The Golden Harp. The spirituals are songs that were sung first without being written down. Usually they have a call and response kind of a verse and then a chorus. And so this one says, I want to play on the golden harp. And then that phrase repeats a few times and it's got a chorus. So a lot of these spirituals written down in notes for the first time in some of these Southern Shape Note songbooks. And again, getting those minor keys that we enjoy.
La, fa, la, la, fa, la, la, so, la, fa, so, la, 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 so, la, fa, la, so, la, so, la, 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 so, la, fa, so, la, 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 so, la, fa, la, so, la, so, la, 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 so, so, play on the golden harp.
play on the golden harp.
And let's turn to 288. A lot of the spirituals talk about the finitude of life and what might lie beyond. And so this one says, I'm a long time traveling here below. So let's sing this. Somebody from we didn't talk about what it means to lead, did we?
We did not.
We don't have one director. People can lead the timing of the song. They might want to sing it faster or slower. So I think this one is, you guys enjoy this around here, right? So maybe one of the Sitka people or someone, local people, sing this the way you all sing it. I'll pitch it, but I'd like to hear how you sing it. That's one of the joys of traveling, you know? We get to hear how other communities sing. La, fa, sol, fa, sol, la.
La, fa, sol, la, sol, fa, sol, fa, la, la, sol, la, 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 sol, la, la, sol, la, sol, fa, sol, fa, la, fa, sol, la, fa, la, sol. La, fa, sol. So la fa so fa la fa so 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 fa la fa fa la so la fa so so la fa so fa la fa so la fa la so.
Good song to sing at this point, kind of talk about maybe the themes of the Sacred Harp that appeal to us is 146. Because a lot of the songs talk about the fact that life is finite and that we all have to think on that, that we won't be here forever and that we should kind of look around at the people around us and appreciate them. And so this one talks about, and let this feeble body fail and let it faint or die. My soul shall quit this mournful veil and soar to worlds on high. And I'll sing hallelujah, and you'll sing hallelujah. So we sing this verse, and then we all kind of sing to one another. So let's sing this one, and then maybe talk a little bit about some of the more personal things that Sacred Harp singing, shape note singing means to us, and then we can finish in the 20th century and where we are. But this song, to me, I think summarizes a lot of the themes of the music, what it might be saying, you know. So far.
Fa so la so fa la fa 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 so la so so la fa fa so la fa so la so fa la fa 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 so la so fa la so la so fa so la so la so 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 fa so la so fa so la 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 so la so la so la so fa la la so fa la.
Well, we are down to about 6 minutes and a little bit more until our live join to the BBC. So, yeah, there's just so much more.
Yeah, and I, you know, maybe I'm jet lagged, or maybe as soon as I start singing this music, I get carried away, you know, and
oh,
I
not
and
at
so you
not
know, I just
all.
We get caught up in it.
There's been important words said tonight.
Yeah, but you know, a couple of things we could say is that, you know, kind of like what I was saying, as one might view it as folk music, but if you grew up in a community where this is how music was taught and this has how music was sung and this you became musical, what right does someone else to tell you that that's folk music? It's like, if you learn to count or do math, is that folk arithmetic? This is music, no less and no more. You know what I mean? This is music, no less and no more, and this is people's means to musical literacy going back hundreds of years. So, while it's one person's folk music, it's actually just music. And that's why even we say the Sacred Harp is just a book, and Fossil Law is just one way to discover what we all discover. It's just music. It's wonderful to make music with others. And that this forum gives us that experience in a very, very powerful way. And so that's one of the appeals of it, is it the Fossil Law system, even though it's old, its meanings are very current. It brings us to this moment today where we're singing together across from each other. You know, when we sing, we sit in a configuration around a square, looking at one another, not looking at an audience. And so some of us who sing out of the Sacred Harp songbook, we know some of the people who wrote the songs. You know what I mean? So it's that continuation. So maybe we could finish up with a couple of songs by people who are living composers. You know, I think you guys enjoy 474, don't you? Now, Bruce Randall is a character, you know. I sing with him in Boston quite often. And he is a graduate of the University of Massachusetts in Lowell, where I currently teach. So we are actually going to give him a little special recognition this year.
Oh,
and I think he'll appreciate having his song sung in Alaska.
Fa, sol, la, fa,
fa.
Part of the reason that we can have this conversation, folk music or not folk music or spiritual music or social music, is because of Hugh McGraw and the Sacred Harp Publishing Company, that there were teachers and bookmakers who kept the music alive. And Hugh traveled a lot, starting in the 1960s, to the north. He came to Connecticut in 1967 and started the New England Convention there. And then when Chicago needed books, he came there in 1986. And so it's sort of...
We need some books.
Yeah, exactly. give him a call.
Is that right? Or maybe he'll
changed.
Come and bring them forward to
oh,
us.
Oh, I would love that. But maybe
someday,
we ought to. Maybe we ought to sing a song that I think his mentor in music was A.M. Cagle. And let's sing that. It's Present Joys. Another song that I think kind of connects the past to the present,
310?
To the future.
318.
The words of this song kind of talk about the past, the present, and the future. So let's just sing the first verse of the fugue, and maybe we could sing New Britain to close. Just the first verse.
So, ba ba, so so, la la mi ba, so ba, so la so ba, la so ba, la so ba,
so ba ba ba,
ba la 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 ba, so 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 la ba,
so so
la ba ba la ba la so so.
Present joys for blessing time.